Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
You don't need an MBA either. It's like, you know, you don't have to make it your career, but you do owe it to your career to make it your business.
Today, we have a phenomenal guest who will unveil the secrets to turning your freelance business into a thriving success. Amy Posner, a seasoned online entrepreneur and business coach, brings over 30 years of insightful experience to the table. Amy has not only launched 6 successful businesses, but has also been the catalyst for countless freelancers, empowering them to build the business of their dreams. Through her Breakthrough Freelancer course and the Business Badassery podcast, she's influenced a multitude of digital creatives, teaching them the art of attracting the right clients and mastering the skills necessary for growth. In this episode, Amy will dive deep into the essence of true entrepreneurship, sharing valuable lessons from her own career journey. You'll learn the ins and outs of making meaningful connections with clients, mastering discovery calls, crafting compelling proposals, and nurturing client relationships to ensure repeat business and referrals. She'll also illuminate the critical yet learnable business skills that can take your craft from being just a passion to a profitable enterprise. Whether you're a freelancer looking to break through plateaus or a small business owner aiming for exponential growth, Amy's insights are tailored to help you smash the barriers in your path. Get ready to be equipped with the tools to enhance your business strategy, increase your market value, and create the rewarding and prosperous business you've always envisioned. So, tune in to this exciting episode of Smashing the Plateau, where Amy Posner helps you navigate the exhilarating world of entrepreneurship and guide you towards achieving your fullest potential. It's time to elevate your business acumen and step into the success you deserve. Let's get started by welcoming Amy Posner. Amy is a seasoned online entrepreneur and business coach who helps digital creative freelancers build breakthrough businesses. Over her 30-year career, Amy launched 6 successful businesses and mentored thousands of freelancers to success. She empowers freelancers to grow the business they want by teaching them the skills they need to attract the right clients. In her Complete Breakthrough Freelancer course and as co-host of the Business Badassery podcast. In her free time, you'll find Amy adventuring around the Pacific Northwest, hiking, gardening, and making a ruckus. Amy, welcome to the show.
David, thank you. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you on. Let's start off by talking a little bit about your career background, and in particular, what led you to do what you do now?
Well, let me try and tell you the long story short, since it's kind of a long story, 30 years. You know, it's funny, I grew up in a family business, and I never wanted to be a business person. I wanted to be the creative one. And what ended up happening was I got out of college, went traveling, learned how to speak French, got a job in New York, running a fashion house for a French company, thinking I would get to go back to France. And one thing led to another, and I ended up getting another job. And the man that I was working for was very open-minded, and we would sit around and, you know, schmooze after the workday, and I would have ideas. And he really liked my ideas and started implementing some of them. And at one point, he offered me to become his business partner. And it was very out of the blue for me. It was a very reasonable buy-in. And I borrowed the money and I bought into my first business. And I never looked back. And the funny thing, David, is I found it was so creative. I thought marketing and like sort of reinventing yourself was really creative and really interesting and really fun. And so that was the beginning of business for me. That business was super successful. In fact, it's still running today, all these years later. And I then went on to own a graphic design and typography business in Manhattan. And then I became an escapee and ran a bunch of different businesses since then. And it led to a lot of coaching. I seemed to like take my experience and help other people. And I really liked marketing. And so that sort of evolved into me being what I call now a business growth mentor, helping other people to sort of solidify their business chops.
So shifting from being the business owner and business operator to being the business guide is a shift.
It is. And I found, you know, people were coming to me for advice and I seemed to have ready answers. So I sort of people started calling me the client whisperer because, you know, I seemed to know how to sort these situations out, and it was a pretty natural fit. And that when people keep coming to you and they keep knocking on your door for a thing, it's like, maybe I should be offering them the thing. And so that's how that evolved. And it led into group coaching and masterminds because I was getting results for people. Because, you know, the thing you don't know is, can you take what you've done? Is it transferable? Is it, you know, duplicable? Can somebody else do it? And when I discovered that, in fact, it was something that I could teach, I got very keen on just helping particularly digital creatives. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but like people with really solid craft skills or business, like, or really good at what they practice, who don't have the business chops, just don't eat as well as people who, you know, maybe aren't as good at their craft, but are seasoned in business. And so that's the problem I kind of set out to solve, because it was really just, it was eating at me.
Yes. And I see this in particular with creative people. I've observed this for a long time that, and I'm thinking about craft fairs that I've attended regularly, like the kind of craft fairs that like it's an annual event. So you see some of the same vendors every single year, and then there's some new ones. And one of the things that I would notice at these kinds of events is that there are creative people that are really good at their craft that are displaying and selling these beautiful pieces. There are some others whose pieces are not so good. And I noticed that there were some that would show up every single year at the same event, and they were selling the same stuff. And honestly, like creatively, I thought it was sort of mediocre, but they were selling a lot of it. And I could see that there were some that were really good at marketing and really good at the business, and they probably ate quite well. And they weren't necessarily the ones that had the best pieces. So my takeaway from this is there are those that are really good creative people and not so good at business. They struggle to make a living. There are those that are kind of mediocre at both, and maybe they make a living, maybe they don't. There are those that are really good at the business part, the marketing and the selling and the business, and kind of mediocre at their craft. They do just fine. And then, of course, there are the few that are great creatives and really good at the business. And those are the ones that we all know about because they do really well.
It's exactly that. And, you know, the irony is the business skills can be learned. But I think people are turned off by it, or turned off by the things that they perceive as uncomfortable, like maybe sales. Like they don't realize sales is just, you know, talking to people. It's not about, you know, trying to convince somebody of something or manipulate them or do something that's creepy or uncomfortable. And so they avoid it and they keep avoiding it, but then they go in, you know, then they aren't getting where they want to get and they don't understand why. And so I'm trying to make this whole thing more palatable and more accessible and let people know that it doesn't have to be big and scary. And you don't need an MBA either. It's like, you know, you don't have to make it your career, but you do owe it to your career to make it your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think an MBA primarily teaches you to be in leadership roles in large enterprises. And what we're talking about are primarily small businesses. You know, often it's one person or two people or maybe a handful at best. And that's a very different thing than running an enterprise with thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of people.
It's so different. And they don't, you know, they don't teach entrepreneurship. Actually, some MBA programs do, but like entrepreneurship's a different that's a whole different experience than, you know, than corporate or running a business. And I say that only because people will, like, they do think that, like, oh, I have to, you know, go deep into all of these things in order to, you know, learn business. And you really don't. There's just a few things you need to understand so you can take good care of yourself and your clients. And those things are really worth learning, I think. So that's the drum I'm beating.
Yes. And I agree with you. They can be learned. And you're right. There aren't that many concepts that are really critical. With that in mind, what do you find are the key concepts and the key skills that creative people need to learn in order to put food on the table and, you know, make a decent living?
Yeah, great question. Two things pop out for me. One is discovery calls or sales calls, whatever someone chooses to call them, because I think that's where you kind of establish the relationship initially. And it's where you get to, you know, sort of test for fit. And I think what happens with a lot of creatives is, so they're in the position where they see the client as more of an adversary than they do as a potential partner. And so they go into these initial calls, you know, sort of hoping to get hired or hoping to be chosen, and not realizing that, you know, there's choice there for them too. And that we're looking for fit, essentially. And we're looking to see if there's a relationship. And there's a very specific way to run those that's very casual, but it's very important that you run it, because that's the first place that you establish that you're actually someone who knows what they're doing and has a process. And the better clients are looking for someone who knows what they're doing and have a process, like someone who, you know, who's been down this road before. And that's the first indication to them that you're seasoned and you're experienced and that they can probably trust you and have confidence in you. So that's one thing. And that's a fairly simple process.
And by the way, you're recommending that the business owner be in charge of that conversation.
I really am. And even, you know, it's funny, even from like the very simplest first thing, like, you know how you get on a call with someone or in a meeting and, you know, you chit chat a little, right? Hey, how you doing? How's the weather? Whatever it is. Someone has to segue off of that in those sales calls. And it's really important, I think, that it's the contractor, because that's how you establish that you're capable of running things. Because the idea that you're able to run a meeting indicates that you're probably able to run a project, right? At least people are making that loose association. And so, like, it's really important for me to say, as we're chatting, like, hey, David, I really want to respect your time. Here's what I'd like us to do today. You know, I want to ask you some questions. You'll have some questions for me. We'll do X, Y, and Z. Does that work for you? Would that be a good agenda? And you agree, I get your buy-in. And now I'm running the show. I'm running the call, essentially, which I think scares some people. But I have a really simple process for that. In fact, I have a little free 7-step thing I can share that just shows you which points to cover. But I think that's really the first place to, like, develop a bit of a skill and a bit of confidence. And the second thing that I think is really important is a proposal or a scope of work, because those come from those calls. And so what you ascertain in those calls allows you to write a scope or a proposal. I kind of hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say that's kind of a piece of art or a piece of your best work, let's say. Because what happens, right? Like, say you and I have a meeting and I'm going to now create a scope of work for you and tell you what I'm going to do and how I'm going to solve your problem and what it's going to cost. But what I don't know who you're going to discuss that with. Maybe you have a partner, maybe you have a spouse, maybe you have a best friend or a coach that you're going to run this by. That person won't have been on the call. I want that person to get the whole story soup to nuts. I want them to know, this is what we talked about. This is the problem you're trying to solve. Here's how I'm going to propose that we solve it. Here are what your options are. Here are what the costs are. Here are what the payment terms are. And there's a way to lay these out that are very, very compelling and that help the potential client to understand the value that you deliver. And I think a lot of times people feel like they don't want to invest the time, or they don't know how to craft something that tells the whole story. And so instead it's like a list of deliverables and a price, which, you know, when you're the client who's buying something, you need to be reminded of why you want to spend the money. Because when all you see is the price, you're not now thinking about your problem and how great it is to be solved, how great it will be to have it solved. What you're thinking is, damn, I don't know, 10 grand, right? But if you remember what the 10 grand is going to bring you, and it's right there encapsulated, and I get a little bit excited about what I'm trying to accomplish, I'm much more likely to say yes. So I think that's the second really important thing. And I have one more, but you can stop me because I'm on a roll, but stop me if you want to.
No, go right ahead.
The other thing that I think is really important, and it's maybe the most important, and it wraps around all of these, is client relations and client communications and how you take care of the people that you work with. It's really, really important to good clients to be well taken care of. Crappy clients don't care so much, right? Because they see you kind of as a one and done. You're like maybe, I don't know, they see you like the guy who has to repair the dishwasher. Like, I kind of resent that you have to come, but I got to hire you. So you come and you do the job and don't care too much about who you are. Or, you know, I may be price shopping, whatever it is. In this kind of a situation, you know, when you're hiring somebody to work on your business, for example, it's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, especially for those of us who are small business owners, that's our baby. You know, that's something that's, you know, really critically important to us. And so, like, if I'm going to hire a contractor, I want to feel that it's pretty damn important to them too, and that they really care, and that they're going to get in there and take good care of me. And I'm willing to pay more money for that, frankly, over somebody who's kind of nonchalant and doesn't care and maybe won't get it done on time. So I think it's really important to have good client communication skills and just be able to have an honest conversation with someone about their needs and your potential ability to solve their problem or to meet their needs. And it sounds so simple, but I think it's really, really important to be able to have a conversation with someone and then to be able to take good care of them throughout the project process.
Amy, can you address some of the differences, particularly in the second and third steps that you've described, between a creative or a consultant selling to a small business versus selling to an enterprise? In the second stage, when you're talking about the price, with a small business, you're primarily talking about the owner's pocketbook, and an enterprise, you're probably talking about a budget line item.
Yes.
And in the third step where you're talking about building the relationship, when you're building the relationship with a small business owner, that relationship is really critical to the long-term success of your work with that business. Whereas in an enterprise, the relationship could be quite different. And you're probably talking about relationships with people at different levels in the hierarchy. So I may have asked you two different questions. One is about the price issue. One is about the relationship issue. But if you have any words of wisdom with regard to how you might approach a small business differently than you would approach an enterprise, yeah, I'd love you to share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think starting with the small business or the solopreneur, I mean, as you said, it's more personal for them because it's coming out of their pocket. It's not a corporate budget. And so they're probably more attached to results and they're more likely to be keen to hire somebody who's close to the ROI for them, where they can see a direct correlation between what they're hiring and revenue. Where with enterprise, they're a little less concerned with that. They're usually able to be a little bit more strategically long-term because they know they've got a better sense of their, you know, of what's coming in. They have a better sense of, you know, what's going out. They've already got a budget allocated. Where sometimes the solo or the small business owner actually doesn't know what something should cost, especially if they're new to the marketplace. And so I think there's a little bit more of a sort of a value prism, if you will, that you have to create for, or maybe not more of one, maybe just a different one that you have to create for the small business owner, because they need to really understand how they're going to work with you, what the outcomes are, but they're also probably looking for more of a strategic partner, somebody who they can, you know, sort of tell their whole business story to and have them help, you know, sort out like what best next moves might be. Where enterprise, they've probably already got that sorted. They're probably already working off an annual, maybe even a longer term strategy, and they're looking for support players to help fill in. And so they more know what they want, and they're looking for somebody who can, you know, hey, we need a why. What will Y cost us? Y will cost you X. Okay, here we go. Where the small business may be like, I think I need more leads, right? And the enterprise is saying, hey, we need more leads. So we need you to do an XYZ for us because that's what fits into our plan. Where the small business owner is like, I don't know what I need. You know, how can you help me? Or what would you recommend? Or what would you suggest? And that's where we sort of get into the relationship piece. I'm a big fan of delivering value before money changes hands. And what I mean by that is So say you're the contractor and you're talking to the small business owner, like give them a real consult. Spend an hour with them. Dig around in their business. Find out what are they trying to solve for? What's the challenge they've come to you for? Talk to them about it. Dig into it. Tell them how you would see solving it. Give them a little taste of what it's like to work for you, or with you. Excuse me. What's your brain like? How generous are you? How smart are you? How much do you actually know? I'm a big fan of that. I think that's really important. I think it's especially important with the small business owner. In fact, the enterprise people might not like this. The small business owner really wants to know, you're like, I got somebody who's going to run alongside me here that I can rely on. Of course, enterprise wants somebody reliable, but it's not as personal for them. And they know more what they want. They're also probably in a better position to evaluate how good you are or how much of a fit you are for them, because they probably work with more contractors. They probably have more experience, where the solo might be like, geez, they don't really even know how to evaluate who they should hire. And that's where this consultative approach could go a really long way, because they get a sense of who you are, and the fact that you're generous and that you actually really care can go a long way to closing business with small business owners.
That makes a lot of sense. Amy, one thing we haven't talked about is peers for contractors, consultants, or creative professionals. What's your thought about how these folks can generate greater success by tapping into to a community?
You know, so I think this is interesting. I'm pausing here because I'm thinking about my own trajectory, and I was so hesitant to tap into peer support for so long because I didn't really understand it. Like, I heard about masterminds and group coaching and stuff, and I was like, it all just seemed sort of expensive, and I didn't know what the point of it was. That said, I had always said that if there was ever a woman appeared in the copy space who could coach me as a copy coach, that I would sign up, because it was all men in the space at the time. And someone came along and her mastermind was $12,000. And I was like, I really had never spent that much money on something that wasn't a house or a car in a lump sum. I hadn't. And I decided, I had said that I was going to do this, and I talked myself off the cliff. I spent the money. It changed my life. It totally changed my life. I had no idea, being with peers. So here's the thing. If you're the only brain in your business is really limited. And sure, you can hire coaches, but like, your best stuff comes from your peers. They've already been there. They've walked the walk. They've been down the road. They've faced the challenges. And solving these things in isolation, you don't have any perspective, right? You have no idea what you're solving for. If you can talk to two peers or 10 colleagues or five colleagues and hear how they did it, I mean, you can save yourself so much time and so much aggravation. And besides that, you know what? It's really, really nice to have support. It's really nice to have people who understand what you do, care about what's happening for you, who want to help. They have amazing connections. They know just the right people that you should talk to. I would never be without it again. In several capacities. I just wouldn't. I run a business. I will not stop running a business, and I will not run a business where I don't have support. It's a game changer. It is totally life changing. I'm that emphatic about it.
Now, thank you for sharing that. Amy, we've covered a lot of territory, including some really important strategic steps that business owners should take if they want to be able to put food on the table. If anybody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed or access any resources that you have, where would be the best place to go?
My website, it's amyposner.com. And I've got a lot of free resources, including something called Breakthrough Clients, which helps you identify and find your ideal clients, which is really, really useful. And I hang out on LinkedIn a lot, and I'm there to answer questions and provide free resources. And I answer my email too. So I'm easy to reach. I'd like to be the accessible coach.
Sounds great. Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Share a little bit about your own story, and in particular, what you guide people through in your business currently. My guest has been online entrepreneur and business coach, Amy Posner. Thank you, Amy, for joining us.
Thank you, David. Really appreciate your time.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.